I'm Leo Green. You're listening to LGRadio.online. Welcome to my In a Lifetime series, and this is part 4, celebrating and remembering one of the 20th century's greatest and most loved voices, Dusty Springfield. And in our last episode, we finished off with this. Dusty belting out a classic from the Motown songbook. Well, welcome along to part 4 of our In a Lifetime series, celebrating the life and work of Dusty Springfield with me, Leo Green, here on LGRadio.online. Thanks for joining me. I hope all is well with you. And listening to that recording all these years later, nothing about Dusty's phrasing or voice sounds in any way old-fashioned or dated, in the same way that the classic Ella Fitzgerald or Frank Sinatra recordings don't sound dated. And it's ironic that Dusty was so self-deprecating and dismissive of her own vocal ability, and yet all these years later, her recordings don't in any way seem out of place sitting on the shelf next to the likes of Sinatra, Ella, or indeed any of her own Motown heroes. On last night's show here on LGRadio.online, we heard Some of Your Lovin', written by Carole King and Jerry Goffin. And the relationship between Dusty and Goffin and King's songs was akin to that of hers with Bacharach and David's, in that it produced so many incredible recordings. Carole King has said on many occasions that it is Dusty who sings her compositions better than any other singer. And here's another by Goffin and King that Dusty had recorded in January of 1965, but not satisfied with it, she returned to the Phillips studio one afternoon of July that year to re-record it. And listening to this, you can really hear the influence of those early jazz records she had heard as a kid back in West London. Her vocal tone on this one really sounds reminiscent of the great Peggy Lee. See what you think.
When my friends told me you had someone new, I didn't believe a single word was true. I showed them all I had of faith in you. I just kept on saying, oh no, not my baby. Oh no, not my sweet baby. You're not like those other guys who lead you.
fantastic. That's Carole King and Jerry Goffin's song, Given the Dusty Treatment. And apparently, whenever Carole King sent Dusty a song, she would immediately put it in a box under her bed because she loved to collect the demos, because Dusty felt that no recording of a Carole King, Jerry Goffin song ever bettered the demo version that Carole King would send out. And suffice to say, Carole returned the sentiment, saying that no one sung one of her songs like Dusty. Anyway, you'll find that song on 1965's Everything's Coming Up Dusty. The year before that, Leslie Bricusse and Anthony Newley had written this next song for the musical Roar of the Grease Paint. And while Tony Bennett may have had the chart hit, it was this version by Dusty that encapsulates all the drama of a great standard song without being reduced to cliched vocal stylings or making the listener feel like we're being served up some kind of fake emotion. Now, this is Dusty communicating and talking directly to the listener and drawing us in with her reading of the lyrics and the melody. In her first few lines of the song, she hauntingly asks us the question of who can she turn to? And later, by changing her delivery on the very last line of the song, Dusty isn't asking a question anymore, but is making a desperate plea.
Who can I turn to when nobody needs me? My heart wants to know, and so I must go where destiny leads me. With no star to guide me and no one beside me, I'll go on my way, and after the day, the darkness will hide.
Phenomenal vocal from Dusty, and yet again her eclectic taste is evident in her song selection on this album. Now, don't forget, this is 1965, the middle of all the 60s chaos with the Stones, Kinks, the Beatles, the Who, and then Dusty, the biggest solo star in the country, decides to record a Broadway show tune. But what's even more surprising is that the public seemed to completely accept whatever Dusty served up, most likely not because she was our greatest soul singer, but because she was one of the greatest interpreters of a lyric. There's none of the vocal stylings and licks we associate with soul singers in the recording we just heard. And whilst those that were around at the time genuinely agree that Dusty was effectively producing and directing her own recording sessions, we should give Johnny Franz credit for allowing her a very free productive reign. I mean, that in itself is producing an artist. The vocal tracking that Dusty uses in part of this song was a technique that at the time had hardly ever been used. So have a listen to this. It's so much more than the pop song it first appears to be. But whilst her singing style isn't what a soul singer might sing from a melodic and stylistic point of view, her timing and phrasing, especially in the breakdown sections with the drums, is reminiscent of the phrasing an Aretha or a gospel singer might employ. Dusty's 1965 recording, the fruit of yet another session in the Philips Studios. Later that year, Dusty returned home from the San Remo Song Festival with an Italian song that would provide yet another milestone in her career that now, 55 years later or so, it still stops us in our tracks. The fact that she picked up on the melody is further testament to her musicality, which only comes from her having immersed herself in so many different musical genres. So with a recording session booked, Dusty had no English lyrics to go with the Italian melody that had so hugely resonated with her. Her friends, Vicky Wickham and Simon Napier-Bell, volunteered to have a go, and by Vicky's own admission, the lyrics were pretty bad. The fact the song sounded so good is further proof that Dusty pretty much could make anything sound special. So, after 47 takes, several of which were recorded in the toilet at the Philips studio to get the sound she wanted, Here is another of her recordings that would firmly cement her place in the history books. And this is the one that features the Italian melody that had literally reduced Dusty to tears the first time she heard it. And what's interesting to me is that whilst the production of this is, well, it's about as dramatic as you can get, Dusty's vocal performance didn't need to be. Such was her utter confidence that the melody and the arrangement of this song would go on to outlive her, and most likely, all of us as well.
Wasn't me who changed, but you. And now you've gone away. Don't you see that now you've gone, and I'm left here on my own, that I
some recordings are just so incredible, there's nothing to say about them. That concludes this episode of In a Lifetime here on lgradio.online, where we've been enjoying the life and times of Dusty Springfield. Please do check the website lgradio.online for details of all our shows. Thanks for listening.